It's KCIM on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM. I'm Nathan Cones, and we've got almost what I would call a couple of strangers in the studio with us today. It's St. Anthony Regional Hospital CEO Alan Anderson and CFO Eric Samuelson joining us today. Gentlemen, it's been a while since we've had you in here. Glad to have you join us a little bit. Of course, wanted to really highlight and talk a little bit about some of the really neat things that St. Anthony's working on and what is really proven to be, not just by opinion, but by fact, a very difficult medical environment in terms of financials and staying in the black. However, for the public, I think what they're really interested in, at least to start things off, is the renovations and improvements you got going on over at the campus, and they are well underway.
Certainly right in the middle of the very large project, and we're nearing the first phase completion, which is pharmacy. Our pharmacy is set to be done in August and having them move in, so we're really excited for that. And then registration, as you see the large structure that's being formed on the south side of the building, that'll be the new entrance to the hospital. So excited to see that continuing to progress.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting as you travel around that area. It used to be kind of just breeze through and take a look and see what's going on. It's kind of closed off between the Kemper project and you guys. Getting a sneak peek is a little bit tough, but as many people that have asked, I'm sure you get all kinds of questions about it too, guys, but it shows that there's a lot of interest in it.
There is, and I think it's how engaged this community is in our hospital and in the school, and for us to be able to both do this project at the same time and be good neighbors. It's exciting for the future to see what the end result is going to look like.
Yeah, it's something I've said, I don't know if it's been to you guys, but something I've said a lot the last 4 or 5 months is, imagine taking somebody from 1985, Carol, and in 2 years from now, dropping them in that neck of the woods. Would they even know where they were at?
No, I mean, our whole hospital has just been drastically transformed, you know, over the last 120 years. And so it's pretty cool to be able to do this, and how large and the growth mindset that we've constantly had at St. Anthony has been pretty neat.
And that serves as a good segue to why I really wanted you guys to come in here with is you've got this massive expansion going on. Just a few years ago, longer than I think most of us are willing to admit, but the Cancer Center was added to the campus. You constantly are looking ways to add services. And this comes in an environment where a lot of hospitals in similar geographic regions as Carroll are struggling to keep their doors open. So I guess for starters, in your guys' opinion, what makes the medical environment in rural Iowa from a fiscal perspective so difficult?
Well, I think one of the biggest aspects of it is just volume. And in the healthcare space, you need a lot of volume to be able to make it work financially. And in any rural area, volume it can be tough. So when we're looking at growth and how to grow the hospital, strategic growth is huge. So when we're adding services, when we're doing these construction projects, we're really hitting some of those high need areas that we feel like our community needs, and that we can address those needs as part of it.
Yeah, when we kind of set forth with this project, we really looked at some of those service lines that needed some enhancement, whether it be volume driven or patient experience driven. And we've really put a lot of attention to those two aspects of the care that we give. And this project should address a lot of those. I take the emergency department, for example. That really is the gateway to the hospital. Most patients will enter the hospital through the emergency department at some point. And we've seen increasing volumes in there, and we have run out of space. And so, as Eric talked about, just being strategic with some of those growth opportunities and making sure that it is adding value to the community.
And we were talking a bit before we jumped on the air here, is just reimbursement rates are much of a challenge. I was doing a little bit of research in prep for this interview. You have the facilities in Primgar and Keokuk have closed, and then recent reports showing that Jenny Ed over in Council Bluffs, O-Line, and Ottumwa are kind of on the brink of, hey guys, this is it for us. And then as that environment exists, and then to look at you guys and see what you're doing, to me, it's just a massive juxtaposition of like Tale of Two Cities almost.
Yeah. And I think that's credit to our team. I mean, our team is just fantastic here that we have at the hospital and the community support we have. And we've really aligned with trying to be as efficient as we can, as effective as we can, and focusing on the patient. And I think it's years of that focus that has just allowed St. Anthony to prosper in an environment, to your point, Nathan, that is just so tough.
I think there's a lot of anxiety and some stress with that critical access hospital switch that you guys did. Gosh, was that 2.5 years ago now? My sense of time's terrible.
Yep, 2.5 years was that major transition of the hospital status, and really hopefully patients haven't experienced anything different, but financially it is made a huge difference for us in getting in front of some of these other headwinds that have come our way.
And so, I can only speak from, you know, what I saw, but people were nervous. What does this mean? How is this going to affect patient care? Alan, now that we're, you know, 2.5 years out, I certainly haven't noticed anything as a patient. Have you had any complaints at all?
No, we have not seen anything from an operational standpoint. Nothing has changed. I think we were in here twice talking about it with you, Nathan. And like Eric said, from an operational standpoint, nothing really has changed significantly. It just really is that reimbursement market for us.
And so as we look at rural facilities, none of them particularly close, I'd say, Jenny Ed, a little bit, potentially you could have some overlap on the far ends of the polar region on that. But as you see rural hospitals start to close down, the pressure on the ones that are still standing, so to speak, increases because those patients got to go somewhere.
I think we're already experiencing that a little bit outside of the conversation of closure. And I'll use the service line of labor and delivery, for example. We are seeing a lot of labor and delivery units closed, not just across the state, but across the country. And that is creating what they are calling OB deserts. And that's putting a lot of pressure on the ones that continue to offer that service line. I think that same pressure is going to be experienced when we start to experience some of these potential closures as well.
Yeah, so when you have specialists, OBs, for example, for me personally, endocrinologists are a pain in my rear end. But as you kind of have a harder and harder time finding specialists, as there are fewer facilities for them to potentially go, does that make recruitment potentially easier for you guys? Not necessarily for specialty fields, but just in general?
Recruitment never becomes easier. there is a physician or provider shortage out there. So we're all kind of fighting for the same, recruiting the same individuals. And until they start to increase the number of seats in medical schools and residencies, we're not going to see relief from that. So we're having to re-envision kind of how we deliver that, how there is access to the providers for the patients.
And something, I guess, when it comes to staff recruitment, not just at the physician level, but administratively speaking, nurse support staff at large. Now that you've got the St. Anthony Child Care Center functionally up and running, I think you're still kind of gearing up, warming up the engine, so to speak. Yep. As you talk with potential candidates for positions, do they see that as just an enormous asset?
That has been one of the benefits that we have seen is yes, opening that child care center, but that is just one of the benefits, one of the tools that we use from a recruitment and retention standpoint. We have put a large focus on just internal culture as well, and we have seen some definite improvements from a recruitment retention standpoint there as well. I can share today that St. Anthony has the lowest number of open positions that we've had in years. Our retention rate, our turnover rate is well below the state's benchmark.
You guys can't see it, but there was a legitimate cheesy grin there. He was so happy because if you've had to hire in the current environment, regardless of what you're hiring for, it is tough. Doesn't matter if it's police officers, assistant news directors. We recently went through that. Finding qualified candidates is tough in today's environment. So looking ahead, you know, you've got this project basically going to be eating up a lot of your time and attention for the next 2-ish years or so. Once that gets wrapped up, what do you do next?
Part of Eric's and I's job, the board of directors' job, is to really continue to forecast. So we're always thinking 1, 3, and 5 years out, sometimes even further. Like, where is healthcare really going? How do we continue to position ourselves in the best way possible? And so we're already having those discussions, at least high level, on what is next. Where are we going from here? I don't ever want to just sit still. And I think that's been evident as we've done dialysis, labor and delivery, moving into this project. And so I can't necessarily say what is next. Yes, we want to get comfortable in our space, but we want to continue to be strategic with any future projects as well.
And I think as the region struggles with an ever-increasing average age for its population, you're going to see a growing percentage of your guys' revenue stream be Medicare. I'm sure you guys have forecast that out. I don't know how in-depth you want to go, but when that comes up at the federal level or at the state level, when they're talking about Medicare reimbursement or Medicaid reimbursement, how attuned are you? Did your head snap over immediately as soon as you hear it?
Yeah, I mean, that is huge. It's already the majority of our volume and our patients are Medicare. And I think that's part of going back to that critical access hospital status that gets us cost-based reimbursed for our Medicare patients. So that kind of furthered the point as we projected that out, having more and more of our patients be Medicare, getting that cost-based reimbursement became that much more crucial for us into the future as well. And I think one of the things that we really look at a lot is the Medicare Advantage plans. there is a material difference between Medicare and Medicare Advantage. And as our population shifts to more Medicare Advantage, that is more harmful to the hospital for us and just the way the plans work and pay the hospital.
And so I like to get in the weeds. When you say more harmful, are you just talking reduced reimbursement rates, different pay structure? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so technically they're supposed to operate as Medicare, but they have their own policies, they have their own denials that they do, and it is materially more than Medicare does. They're delaying in payments to us. There's a lot more back and forth. They're not as great of a partner as Medicare is to the hospital, and not just St. Anthony, but this would be for the healthcare industry.
And you've come across a blind spot in my knowledge here. So would Medicare Advantage be overseen? Is that also federally regulated? Like, it's similar, or is it kind of like a privatization of Medicare?
It's a
almost?
Privatization of Medicare.
Okay, gotcha.
So technically overseen by the federal government, but...
But offloaded to somebody else, some third-party company.
Correct.
Okay. And so there's a profit motive to not pay out. Gotcha. I won't put you in a bad spot. I'll say the out things. So we'll leave it at that. So, gentlemen, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. I know it's always fun, at least for me anyway. Just a couple quick notes before we go. As we make our way through the hospital renovations, what's kind of going to be the next big disruption off the top of your head anyway?
Yeah, we're planning for that parking deck aspect of it that should start later this fall or early winter. And that is going to change the parking on the south side of our campus pretty drastically, as we're going to have to kind of shut down a lot of those spots, and the wayfinding to get into our hospital is going to change, as a lot of those entrances will no longer be accessible on the south side of our building. So we are working toward a plan right now of communication to patients where they're needing to park, how are we going to get them up to the hospital, get in and out in a timely and efficient manner. And so that is going to be the next big disruptor.
All right, excellent. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate you joining me.